each year there's a challenge as the new school year begins, but this year I'm reading that because of the breadth and complexity of new initiatives, this is going to be an especially challenging year for your members. Tell us about that.
Challenging and exciting. Probably for the first time in a long time, our back-to-school to-do list for boards of education is pretty clear-cut. There are three new initiatives that are coming online that are right in our wheelhouse. The first one is called the Common Core Standards. The second one is called the Annual Professional Performance Review, which is a new way of evaluating teachers and principals. And the third one is the Dignity for All Students Act, which is an anti-bullying, school safety, student safety initiative. School boards, why would you elect them? They are there to make sure you got a high-quality educational program, the highest quality employees in every classroom, and a safe school environment. So these initiatives, the Common Core Standard, the APPR, as it is referred to, the Annual Professional Performance Review, and the Dignity for All Students Act, are right. Those are all things that we're excited about. These are all good for public education. We did a poll of our members. They ranked which ones they felt were going to have the greatest, most significant positive impact. Common Core came in first. The APPR came in second. The Dignity for All Students Act came in third. And they said, this is good. These are great reforms. The caveat was, how are we going to pay for this stuff? It is all underfunded. None of it came with specific categorical aid to support these efforts. And so how do we fit this into a budget that's already tight? What's going to have to go? And that's the dilemma we're facing at the moment.
Well, let's take a look at some of these initiatives. I know there's been many efforts through the years to increase student performance, but the school boards seem to think that this one is going to really work and we will see some progress here.
I sure hope so. I'm not the professional educator that could tell you everything that we need to know about educational philosophy and pedagogy, but I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen here. Basically, what they're saying is that the curriculum that's been taught, particularly in grade schools, has been an inch deep and a mile wide. And what we need to do is redesign it in such a way where it is more focused, more in-depth, where kids are coming out of there more proficient, where they eventually, when they graduate, they are college and career ready. So what they've done is they've redefined what are the core values, the outcomes that are expected in teaching things like, let's say, English language arts. What they were going to focus in on with this Common Core are things like literacy, the knowledge of what the subject matter is that you're reading, so you really comprehend what you're reading and writing about. You understand the complexity of the themes embedded within that information. Lots of writing, lots and lots of writing, because that has been proven to be a very important tool, and lots of vocabulary. Let's make sure that children understand that there are words to be used that they might not be familiar with. The emphasis will be both on literature and informational text. So they're really trying to drill down much deeper in a much more intense way with English language arts. With math, it's a similar thing. Instead of just kind of throwing all these concepts out and hoping that these kids are going to get it, they're going to practice this in ways that are much more intense. Make sure that there's going to be stopping points along the way where our kids understanding this. If not, we're going to focus on what they're not understanding. We're going to make sure there's a level of coherence. But what I really like about the Common Core as it relates to math is it says we're going to show the application of these concepts in real-world examples. So they're really going to start making the connections for kids so they understand why this all makes sense in their lives.
Teacher evaluations, obviously we can see why school boards are accepting of this, but how are teachers reacting to it? What are you hearing?
You know, I've been kind of pleasantly surprised. The teachers that I have talked to have said, we can understand why this makes sense, this kind of organization around the evaluation. I think they're scared to death that they're not going to have the ability to improve if they are linking their performance to students who they worry are going to come to school unprepared. What you have with the new APPR is a situation where student performance, to some extent, is linked to the teacher and principal performance. 20% of the teacher's evaluation is going to be based on the standardized test scores. Another 20% will be some other empirical data point to be determined locally. And the rest of the 60% are things that are more subjective in nature, classroom visitations by the principal, classroom management skills, communication skills, planning skills, things of that nature. So each teacher and principal will be given a composite score of highly effective, effective, developing, or ineffective. If you are in the developing or ineffective category, there will be some improvement plans that will be prescribed that you need to be attending to. If a tenured teacher or principal is showing some sort of a pattern of being ineffective, 2 years in a row getting that ineffective composite rating, then they could be charged with incompetence, and there could be an expedited termination process if need be. That's new. We are having to negotiate these annual professional performance reviews locally, and those negotiated agreements need to be submitted to the State Education Department for approval. There are only about 300 districts that have thus far submitted their agreements. About 50 of them have been approved by the State Education Department, and they're posting online those 50 that they have approved. And they are also going so far as to post online those agreements that they believe are models for others to consider. And I kind of like that, because these other 300 districts or 400 districts that are out there that have yet to submit theirs, they may need to have a model put in front of them that could expedite their negotiations. But the negotiations are being very hard fought. Of course, the approval of an APPR agreement is being tied up with wages and hours and terms and conditions of employment that are typical of negotiations. And so it's a lot more complicated than coming to agreement on that one piece.
Mm-hmm. And on bullying, it was just 1 year ago here in the Williamsville Central School District that a horrible case of bullying that resulted in a student suicide. So it appears that school districts are taking this seriously and really trying to avoid this.
I think that case probably was a threshold case, maybe a watermark for that caused legislation like this to come into play. Nobody ever wants to see something like that happen. Ever again. And so what has been done with the Dignity for All Students Act is a creation of what I'll call new protected classes of students and staff, where it is saying you can't harass or discriminate students on school property or at school functions on a variety of things that are already in play. But here's some new protected classes. Any one's actual or perceived race. You will have people who will say, what's that mean? Well, there are people who, of course, are biracial, and they could be discriminated against one way or another depending on how they perceive themselves. One's weight, one's ethnic group, one's religious practice. Not what religion they actually are, but what religion they practice. How they, what gender they define themselves to be. Which is not always clear to the observer. And you cannot harass or discriminate. These sorts of things need to be built into a code of conduct that will be distributed throughout the school. There will be training of faculty and staff regarding the Dignity for All Students Act. There will be a Dignity for All Students Act coordinator in every school. Students, of course, will be instructed in what it means to be respectful of people for given these origins, and in the areas of civility and citizenship and character education. If there are incidents of harassment or discrimination, they need to be reported to the State Education Department. And that's all coming online right now. Next year, 2003, I think it's July 1st, 2013, they're going to put the emphasis on cyberbullying and all of the online and social media activity that takes place with bullying.
Finally, you addressed it earlier, but let's focus on the financial hardships districts are facing. No easy answers here. Any optimism at all that things might start to get better anytime soon?
That's a huge concern of ours. You look at these things that I'm just talking, which again, I want to emphasize, there's a sense of reform, of progressive movement, where boards of education are telling us, we think these are going to have significantly positive impacts on public education, but how do we pay for these things? We already know that we have cut teaching positions, non-teaching positions, we've increased class sizes, we reduced electives, and a variety of other things. We've gotten some concessions at the bargaining table, but not anywhere near what it's going to cost, what we need to meet these costs. As I look forward, you look at federal money is not equally distributed. There will some districts who might be awarded a grant here or there, but there's a lot that won't be getting a whole lot of new federal money. State aid is limited. It's capped based on an index having to do with personal income growth statewide. And, of course, we have the now local property tax, which limits what school districts can raise locally unless they go for a super majority vote. So we're getting all kinds of new cost requirements, and we have significant restrictions on what we can raise as far as revenue to pay for those costs.
Tim, I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.